Okay, it is 12 minutes after 9. You've got it on KHUM. Our Stop the Violence, Start the Healing campaign resumes. This is our third and final week. We're looking at poverty, the violence of poverty. That is, when you are poor, there are all kinds of things that you are subject to. And getting out of that trap can be very, very hard. Joining me here in the studio, we've got Connie Lorenzo and Randy Weaver, both from the Job Market. Thanks for coming in.
Sure.
Thanks for having us, Cliff.
Absolutely. So I guess the first thing that we wanted to touch on, and there will be several different things, is I guess underemployment. And there are a lot of people who are working, maybe work every day, but are still in the below the poverty level.
I think that a really common issue we find with a lot of people locally is people who would like to have full-time employment but mm-hmm. are working part-time.
Several part-time jobs, too.
Yeah, yes. Very often. And that can be really difficult to juggle, especially if you have a family, to make your schedules work. It puts a lot of stress on individuals, has an impact on their health, their general outlook in life. And also we have people who are trained in one thing and aren't necessarily able to access employment in their field. And so they're working in other fields when they would like to be doing something different. And there's somewhat of a gap between, what employers are looking for in terms of employees and what a lot of these employees are offering, I think.
Yeah, I've talked with people, and this is a kind of a strange thing, who are maybe highly educated, maybe a master's degree in a field, and can't get a job because they are, quote-unquote, overqualified.
Mm-hmm. I always find that interesting because I don't believe in being overqualified for a job. I think you should hire the best person for a job,
right.
And if someone's qualified and significantly qualified, they may actually be an excellent employee. So I think people shouldn't be overlooked for that reason, personally. But yeah.
It's kind of a strange thing.
Yeah. I also think that local employers value experience maybe a little more than education. And so a lot of folks who are highly educated but don't necessarily have a lot of experience mm-hmm. can struggle finding to find the kind of jobs they would like to find, because employers want to know that you have the on-the-ground skills to do what you need to do for them the minute you hit the floor.
Yeah.
I think that's true, too, but I also think it's on that individual to connect the dots for an employer, to show them what knowledge they have and what experience they have, though it's in a different field, how it can relate and connect to a different industry or a different field. That's something we spend a lot of time at the Job Market helping people with, what we call transferable skills, how to identify your actual skills versus your experience, and how to explain that to an employer and help them see how it actually does fit their needs.
And for full disclosure, my wife, Amy, who is my co-host for this campaign this year, also works at the Job Market through College of the Redwoods and teaches there and helping people get jobs and find those transferable skills that you were
talking about. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about that, because sometimes you can get stuck in a rut, and it's like, how do I get past these five minimum wage jobs that I have? I need to get some regular employment, and just some people just can't, they're working so much they don't mm-hmm. have time to get a job, which is kind of a strange.
Yeah,
paradigm.
That can be an issue, is finding the time, because it can take a while to job search, and it can be a job in of itself, if you really are dedicated to looking for work and focusing. I think one of the things that helps people is to be more focused, and that seems counterintuitive to people at first. They think they need to spread a wide net to get a job. Mm-hmm. Sometimes if people can really analyze their skills, their interest, and be more focused, they can be more successful in their job. And like I said, that's a hard one for people to understand at times, but we see that work well for people. Be like, really kind of look at what you're really able to do and what you're interested in doing, and you can sometimes make that work out more than you'd realize.
Another thing that can be a barrier to getting that good job is you know, writing up a decent resume and cover letter.
Yes.
You know, that's something that is generally not taught in schools. And that's something that you guys really can help with.
Yeah. Well, to get into some of what we do offer at the job market, the at the most broad level, we're open to the public for free. And the basic services that we offer initially to a public is just all those job search supports. You know, first, where are the jobs, locating jobs, you know, in the area, how to write a good resume, how to write a good cover letter, how to interview well. We have all kinds of workshops to that end. We have the College of the Redwoods lab on site where people can drop in and work on their resumes at their own pace. So workshops and drop-in hours both, you know, so it's pretty flexible for the average person depending on their schedule. But that's the first thing that we do for people is all that job search and what we call labor exchange, you know, connecting people to what jobs are open.
Fantastic. And I guess it's just before we go much further, I guess let's just introduce, you know, both of you and what you do. Both Connie and Randy both work kind of in different both work with the job market, but from different areas. You're with the county, you're with the state, right?
Yes.
Yes. So I'm with the County of Humboldt Department of Health and Human Services, and I manage the Employment and Training Division. So part of what we oversee is the job market, but we also have funds to help retrain people. And that was the next tier of supports that we can offer is we can help people upskill if they need to gain additional skills to get the next job. We send people, we have funds, government funds, to actually help support people to go back to school. So that's the other thing that we do.
Fantastic. I want to touch on that a little bit more. Randy, you were with EDD, right?
Yes, I work with the Labor Market Information Division of the Employment Development Department. And essentially what we do is we chart and graph and follow the industries, the labor market growth in the county, and try to identify where the opportunity is going to be for folks, you know, where there's emerging industries and also what industries are looking to expand in terms of employment.
So kind of let's look at the retraining. There are jobs that have disappeared here in Humboldt, or at least are shrinking rapidly. Much of the, you know, the timber jobs have disappeared. Retraining is one of those things that you know, someone may have like been, you know, working pulling green chain for a long time, and it's like, now how do these skills transfer to my next job? And they wind up working at fast food.
Well, we've actually worked a lot with the timber industry as it's downsized, and we've had extraordinary funds even to help those people dislocated. The way our retraining works, it's very client-driven. It's their choice. You know, we don't dictate to anyone what they do to retrain. So we have seen people coming out of timber industry doing all kinds of things, some things that make more obvious sense, maybe heavy equipment training, truck driving, but we've seen people go back to school, become RNs, pharmacy techs. We had a fellow recently go to barber school. Like I said, it's up to them what they choose to do. What we look at, though, is that is there a job at the end of this training? We want to make sure they can get back to work, and we're trying to get them back to work in the same salary range that they're coming from. A lot of those jobs were union jobs that you just described. So we're looking to help those people back to a similar salary. But in general, we can retrain. The two ways people qualify for funding for retraining, and the topic is poverty today, is low-income individuals qualify for retraining or upskilling or just, you know, new training, and then people who have been dislocated from an industry that's fading or they can't get back to work in. So those are the two ways that we retrain. And we work very closely with labor market information and the research of where are the emerging jobs, where are the better paying jobs, and we try to focus our training into those industries locally.
And there are actually there are job openings in the county that pay well, contrary to sort of popular mythology. Mm-hmm. The key is that there are skilled occupations, and so you need to have the skills to be able to enter that. If you're still working in the unskilled end of the labor market and stuff, things are as tough as they ever were to find work.
So getting those skills, mm-hmm. Connor, are you saying that you can help
Yeah, we can help people do that. Our services, when we start to work with someone on retraining, they may not know what they want to do next. Mm-hmm. So we do a lot of vocational assessments and interviewing with them and really work with an individual. Some of the supports and services we give them are, you know, hundreds of dollars worth of value if you were to see a professional, you know, career coach. And we're doing that with vocational counselors at the job market for free to people. But we help them decide what to train in, and then we help them put together a plan for training and pay for portions of that. Like Randy said, we're trying to get people back into industries that are growing. If you're starting at the lower end, we've done some cohort training with CR, where we've done some real fast and quick entry-level type of trainings that get people into maybe the medical healthcare industry or, you know, into different industries at a ground level with the idea that there is still a career path for them. So we're looking, sometimes people don't have time to go back to school and spend 2 years to 4 years to get a degree or a certificate, but they need to just get into that ground floor level into an industry that can have growth in it. And so that's another way that we help people at the lower end of, you know, the job market kind of get their foot in the door and get started and help them up on a career ladder.
Yeah, I know Amy did a course, and I think this was through the job market, may have just been through CR, helping people learn how to, you know, work in retail, you know, people who are from the very, you know, bottom end of the economic ladder, you know, just learning how to work at a retail outlet, hey, you know, how to count back change and, you know, how to interact with customers. Again, not taught.
Yeah, well, we just did that actually, and that was focused specifically on youth. We do have a program for, you know, out-of-school youth, people who have not mm-hmm. completed maybe high school and are falling through the cracks. So that retail sales one we did recently was training youth so they could get to work for the holidays.
Right.
The other thing we're able to do with our funding is we put those youth into what we call a work experience. So we put them into a job site where they get additional training, but they're actually being paid through my program and not by the job site itself. But the job site is serving as further training for that individual, and it's also building their resume. They're starting, if they do well, they're going to have a reference there. They're going to have something on their resume to show. It's that catch-22 of, have you worked yet and do you have experience? So it's a way of getting them that initial experience.
Now, that's a terrific program. And if they do well at that, you know, retail outlet, they may wind up getting hired too.
They do often. Through our training programs, our employment rates are fairly high. They're 85% or so, where we get people employed post, you know, within the first 6 months post training. So they're pretty successful programs. And we work a lot with local employers, like I said, for work experience sites to get people on the job training. We also have a program called on the job training itself, which means an employer actually hires an individual and we subsidize the wage and reimburse 50% of the wage as they onboard and get that person up to speed in their particular business. So there's ways, what we do also doesn't just help the job seeker, it also helps businesses.
Fantastic. So let me step back and go to the poorest of the poor. You know, people who are homeless, but desperately would like to get back into the mainstream, desperately would like a job and be able to afford a place to live, maybe live in their car or whatever. That is a huge barrier to getting a job if you don't have a home address.
It is.
How do you get past that?
Well, that's a hard one. I mean, but what we are doing at the job market is when we work with individuals who are homeless, we immediately connect them to other services. So the job market already is a consortium of numerous agencies, and I work for the Department of Health and Human Services. So we're frequently connecting people to other safety net resources, other housing resources, and partnering like with RCAA and, like I said, with, you know, CalFresh through the social service branch and all the different networks that are available. So we're trying to wrap services around people. Our staff are very much trained to look for that and what are the other needs that maybe we're not meeting directly at the job market, but we're going to connect them to it. It does work, though. We work a lot with people on general relief. We work with people on CalWORKs, Welfare to Work. And we're seeing right now, because unemployment is fairly low, we're seeing people get to work. You know, we're seeing pretty good numbers of individuals with our assistance and some basic work readiness, sort of grounding, getting them some of those basic soft skills people want. We're getting them into jobs, and so it is working.
That is wonderful. It is kind of amazing, and you can. There can be poverty where you're not even aware of it. For instance, aside from, you know, working here at KHOM, I also teach at Humboldt State University. And, you know, I've discovered in numerous occasions that some of my students are actually homeless and don't have a place to live. Some of them camp out in the hills. Some of them couch surf with friends. You know, a lot of them have gone hungry. Luckily, both CR and HSU have now started food pantries, and we'll be talking about that a little bit tomorrow. But it's like you wouldn't think that someone going to school at a university would be in that position, but it absolutely happens.
Yeah, there is actually sort of a mythology that college students in general are very well healed. And the statistics tell another story that Arcata actually routinely carries some of the highest poverty rates in the county, even though it's one of the more affluent communities in the county. And that's largely the impact of the students, because many of those students are struggling on limited resources to be able to go to school. And so it takes a lot of effort. And, you know, as far as working with folks who lack housing, and in the past, I was actually a case manager and worked directly with those folks. And I found in general, they're actually some of the most highly motivated folks you would want to work with. They're really willing to just start where they're at and, you know, take anything that's an entry-level job that will help them kind of build work history and enter back into the labor force. It's not always as easy to predict. Sometimes, you know, you get these ideas that some of your clients will be successful and some of them will struggle, and that's really not the case. A lot of times it just comes down to people's personal motivation.
Absolutely. Now, well, before we run out of time, I want to make sure that everyone knows exactly how to contact you guys and what resources are available.
Okay. People can contact the job market at 441-JOBS, and that translates to 441-5627. But it's easy to remember if you remember 441-JOBS. And there's also a website, which is thejobmarket.org at the end. And that on the website, you can find all the workshops and different things like that. But, you know, certainly just go ahead and give a call to the job market, and they can, you know, hook you up with anything that you need and kind of help direct you.
And physical address?
409 K Street. So between 5th and 6th on K Street, right across from the jail. I hate to
ominous.
Use that landmark, but that's where it is.
This is where you don't want to wind up.
Yeah.
So it is there for you. It is a wonderful resource. There are actually a lot of people who could use it who don't even know it exists.
And we have a lot of, you know, resources. Also, we have a veterans program, for example, that specifically serves disabled veterans to help them do things like you were talking about, create resumes, do an effective job search, find openings. And we actively advocate on their behalf with employers to find placements for them. And there's a program for the youth, the employment training divisions programs. We have a program what is it? It's I always get it backwards. It's Experience Works, because we also have Works Experience, but Experience Works is for older workers to also help them, you know, overcome the barriers they have to employment as well. So we actually have a very wide range of services for almost every group.
So take advantage of it. It's a wonderful resource, the job market, and as you said, it's kind of a consortium of a lot of different agencies kind of put together to help people find employment.
Well, and I want to emphasize, too, it's also for businesses. So right. We help businesses find employees. And we do trainings for businesses, and we have quite a few services as well. Randy helps businesses with labor market information. We give them workshops and actually how to hire and interview. And right now, you know, businesses are having a hard time finding employees. So we're working with them also on how to recruit and hire. We just started this year a business program that's a customer experience competition. And that was, we're finding, you know, the need for customer service training in the region. And so we're starting a program where we're going to do a contest annually, but we also offer that sort of training, and we offer leadership and management training. So there's quite a few resources for businesses themselves also through the job market.
Fantastic. Well, Connie Lorenzo, Randy Weaver, thank you both for coming in, taking the time.
Thank you, Cliff. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. And tomorrow we will continue our conversation. We've got Ann Holcomb from Food for People and Jenny Quigley coming in. Jenny Quigley is an HSU grad student who set up a food pantry on the CR campus. We were just kind of touching base on that. Every year we do a food drive with Food for People, and I'm always amazed at the vast majority of people who get food from the food bank are working individuals who just need a little bit extra to make ends meet. And so we'll be going more into depth on that tomorrow on our Stop the Violence, Start the Healing campaign right here on KHUM. Also, this conversation, as all conversations on this campaign, you will find up and posted at KHUM.com. Just click on the Stop the Violence page.